Do you hear me? Okay, great. Again, hello everybody. I'm glad to come to Brazil again. So I was here last time, 3 months ago. I love this country very much. I'm traveling a lot last time, but Brazil, one of the most favorite country. Yesterday I had a little bit issue with traffic. I did a mistake and rent a car. Now it stays at the hotel. Okay, but it's okay. So today we will talk about very interesting topic. It's a trendy topic, containers in DevOps. Plus, we will discuss hybrid cloud, how to use containers for DevOps in hybrid cloud. But before I go to rocket science, as you can see, let me check how many people heard about Docker containers, please. Okay, great. And how many people are using Docker containers right now? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, how many people have tried Docker containers? Uh-huh. It's better. So, now we see the issue. Right, so we need to know how to cook containers right. And I hope my presentation will explain some specific area. Great. One more question. How many Java developers here? PHP? Python? Node.js? Ruby? Okay, .NET? Okay, great. Great, guys. So, awesome. So, containers for .NET are available as well. It's great. So today, I would love to touch some specific area, again, like hybrid cloud and multi-cloud with Azure. So how to use containers for complex workloads. Because actually, hybrid cloud, it's not a simple solution. It's a complex scenario. So, but before I go to deep explanation of hybrid cloud scenarios and how it works, I would love to cover like basic points about containers and explain why containers are good for all IT industry and why so many people were excited and are excited about containers today. So let's start from the problem. So what kind of problem we have or somebody had already, which already solved, I believe, with containers. So how preparation of dev environment looks like for average developer? Like install operation system, configure files the system, coffee break, of course. So configure security, web server, database, couple sandwiches. So half day already gone. So configure firewall, deploy application, so looks good so far. But call our wife and apologize. Maybe we will come later today. So after that, identify library dependencies because something does not work. And upgrade packages, fix dependencies. Now Red Bull. And at the end, run. So, and our day is finished at 2 a.m. So this is the problem. This is the problem, yes. So dev guys, they love to create applications, but they hate to administer servers. So this is the problem for dev guys. What is the problem of ops guys? So for example, dev guys, they created something, it works nice, they move it to production, and now it's problem of ops guys. So it does not work on production. And it's a really big issue because it damages the businesses, a lot of businesses. It slows down the development process. So many issues are inside companies between dev and ops departments. So we need a solution for these big problems. And solution is DevOps. it's a collaboration between dev department and ops department. So first of all, it's a collaboration, yes. Second, it's automation. So when you automate the whole pipeline of application delivery from development to production. Third one, of course, it's quality. So you need to check quality. So you during the application delivery, you can add hooks, you can add tests to check your new build with your unit tests or test system or other kind of test system. And DevOps allows dev guys to be a little bit ops guys and ops guys to be a little bit dev guys. So they understand better each other. And again, we believe that DevOps can help to solve that big problems. What is a DevOps pipeline? As I mentioned, this is when you deliver application from dev environment through test environment to production. And you deliver it automatically. So this is the most important point. You can see right now pretty simple DevOps pipeline. Sometimes it's even more simple, like just dev environment and production, or somebody just commit to production. I know such kind of workflows. Really, like, and I know big guys who do it, like they're expert. For example, father of PHP, so they commit directly to production. Why? Because they built a pretty good system, like, so it does not break the production. So they commit, and only a small number of users can get access to this new version. So they don't release to the whole production. So they have some specific solution for that. So, but it's a pretty unique case because, you know, like at that company where Rasmus Lerdorf is working, father of PHP, they don't have testers at all. So they do it by themselves. Anyway, in the most companies, pipeline looks like that. In some companies, it can be even more complex. So like dev environment, test environment, stage, and several productions. And we need to deliver applications from each point without any break. So, and we need to know how to solve it. Docker. Docker containers. Great technology that changed mind of many dev and ops guys during the last 2 years. It's awesome story. Like, it's so, you know, like they were working on their own platform as a service. As a public service, but they figure out like they have something bigger. And they introduce this technology to the whole IT world. And now almost every company added Docker into their strategy today. So, but what is a Docker? We need to understand Docker, it's like two layers. First of all, Docker, it's about application packaging standard. So you package application in specific way into container. So it's a tool to package your middleware stacks, to package your applications, to package your like libraries and so on. So with different layers. And the second layer is virtualization, containers virtualization. And it's very important to understand that there are two layers. Why it's important to understand? Because you will understand how to use different combinations of containers. And for example, virtualization layer provides really good benefits for companies compared to virtual machine. They are much more slimmer. So it means they provide much better density. So you can put much more workloads on the same resources, on the same hardware, on the same cloud. So it's a better elasticity, so you can scale them much better, much easier. And portability, so it's much easier to move containers from one cloud to another cloud compared to virtual machines. Another important point that, like trend that companies realized is microservices. Containers allow you to decompose your monolithic applications on different components. And why it's good? Because after that, you can scale different different containers independently. So you can upgrade them independently. So you don't need to break the whole like monolithic application. So this is the reason why containers and microservices are good for IT companies, because they provide much better flexibility for the future improvements. Also, containers allows you scale your application much easily compared to virtual machine. For example, as you can see on this slide, we have several layers, like green layer is load balancing, blue layer is application servers layer, and yellow or orange is databases. So each brick is an isolated container. So you can scale each container. You can add more similar containers to the same layer much easily now. So with virtual machines, it was much harder. Vertical scaling. It's another interesting topic, point, that actually not many companies realize the power of vertical scaling. So what does it mean? It means, for example, when you provision a virtual machine, you always, you know, like use or pay for the scaling limit. So, for example, if you order a big virtual machine at Amazon, like let's say 16 gigabytes of RAM, and you use only 2 gigabytes of RAM, you pay always for 16. It doesn't matter how much do you use. So with containers, it's different, because containers can share unused resources between each other. So it means you can put much more applications, containers on the same resources. So you can provision big 16 gigabyte virtual machine, and you can install inside like 10, 20 containers. And total scaling limit of these containers will be much higher than 16 gigabyte of RAM. So what to do when they immediately scale up? It's a different question. Like we can discuss it today as well. But again, like you can put much more applications and workloads on the same virtual machine or hardware node. And in reality, so like it's only like less than 1% applications they scale fast. Like I mean, like immediately, like to the whole. Up to the scaling limit. Heavyability. Another good point, it's much easier now to build heavyability with different containers, because like you can, again, create many containers, put them behind of load balancer, and one of them dies, you don't care, because you can spin up another one, or traffic will be redirected to another one container. So you can build pretty complex, highly available topologies, and I will show how it looks like with our product. Heavyability on hardware level. Another interesting point, actually not many companies are using this today, but it will be standard de facto, trust me. Like software-defined storage. I am talking right now about private cloud, because in public cloud you don't need to care, because Azure already provides such kind of solution. But if we are talking about private cloud, so what you need to do when hardware not fails? So for that, there is a solution, software-defined storage for containers, which was specifically designed for containers. So you just install the software-defined storage on many different on many hardware nodes, and when one hardware node fails, these containers automatically will be restored across the other hardware nodes, across the cluster. So they will be migrated automatically. It saves a lot of money for companies, because downtime will be increased in such kind of with such kind of solution. So containers for DevOps. Containers for DevOps. As you can see from this picture, containers can help us to deliver applications from point A to point B pretty easily. So you can deliver big applications or microservices. Yeah, but question is how to do it right, because if we don't do it right, we can have such kind of situation. So everything can be broken. Or if we don't know how to build right pipeline, we can build something like this. So it's very important questions again, like, so for containers we need to have smart orchestration platform. Containers orchestration platform. Yeah, and Azure provides pretty good solution. So Jelastic provides nice solution as well. So today I would love to talk about hybrid cloud with Azure and Jelastic. So let me tell you one story about Jelastic. So what is Jelastic actually, and who I am? I forgot to introduce myself, sorry. So my name is Ruslan, and I'm founder and CEO of Jelastic. So Jelastic was designed at the beginning to provide flexibility with containers for Java developers. This is the reason why we call it Jelastic, because Java Elastic. So we started from Java, but we started in 2011. And at that time, we started to use containers for our solution. Yeah, really. So containers is not a new technology. It's already like 15 years on the market. So what Docker did, they just changed the mind of people. They introduced these Docker containers to developers and ops guys. In the past, it was mostly used by hosting service providers. So they use it to increase density for their clusters. So it was used by, again, like sysadmin guys to increase ROI, return of investment for translator. Yeah. So we started to use containers in 2011. And we built a containers orchestration platform during the last like 4 or 5 years. And today we provide like public cloud, private cloud, and hybrid cloud. So you can choose, because our philosophy is freedom of choice. So we want to provide developers or ops guys or businesses freedom of choice. So what does it mean? We don't provide services to end customers. We enable service providers to provide services to end customers. It means like we are looking for smart partners in different countries. We enable them to deliver cloud orchestration platform. Or we can install Jelastic on private cloud and enable hybrid cloud to connect them to different clouds. Azure is one of them. So we don't force people use Azure. We love Azure, I will tell you why, but we don't force it. So because freedom of choice is a very important thing. Open source is important. Freedom of choice is critically important for us. So this is the reason why autonomy is number one in this slide. So no vendor lock-in. We should not be locked into anyone, because we use multi-cloud as well. So we have for our lab, we have several data centers in different countries. And you know, like if sometimes bad things happen, and we want to be very flexible, we want to be able to move our workloads from one service provider to another service provider. Because life is complex. It's you know, like it's sometimes bad things happens again, like, and we want to have ability to move our workloads from one cloud to another cloud. And hybridity, it's another important point, because when you have flexibility, when you have freedom of choice, you can choose different vendors and build pretty cost-effective solution. Like, because you can, for example, you can realize, okay, like I need a dev environment. I can use like pretty okay hardware for that. I mean, like slow performance for the dev environment. Like maybe quality of support is not very important for me, so I can use cheap cloud for that. And for production, no, it should be like high-performance hardware. It should be from big vendor. Like, it should be in this country. So, and you choose, for example, Azure in your country. So it provides you ability to mix and match different cloud vendors and get benefits from that. And another one important solution for business is have ability and disaster recovery. Because if when your application goes down, your company loses money in many cases. So, and if you can provide have ability or disaster recovery, it can save your business. So today, I would love to talk about unique features that we introduced with Azure that allow you to migrate applications from one cloud to another cloud without downtime. So it's like live migration of containers from one cloud to another cloud. Really, it's like rocket science. It was not easy. So we spent a lot of efforts to build such kind of solution. We use expertise of other guys in virtualization area to build such kind of solution. But it's really powerful because you can change your cloud pretty easily by one click without extra efforts. So, and it brings workloads mobility to the next level, like to the space actually. So again, live migration between Azure and Amazon, have ability across multiple clouds. I will do some demo today. Disaster recovery of workloads from Azure, from Amazon to Azure, for example. So containers allow you to do that easily. Automatic scaling for load spikes and temporary burst. So hybrid cloud, pretty good solution to handle spikes, load spikes. And unification of DevOps workloads across different clouds. So because unification of processes is very important as well. You don't invest your time every time when you move to another cloud. So live migration from Azure to Amazon. Let me switch to dashboard. So first of all, let me introduce a little bit this panel. It's panel for dev guys. So Gelastic provides two panels, like one panel for dev guys, black panel, and white panel for ops guys, where ops guys can control different resources, users, policies, and so on. But let's focus on black panel for dev guys. As you can see, this panel has several like sub-panels. Left panel provides you ability to design your topology. So this is important thing. I had a slide about microservices. So this panel, let me show. So this panel allows you to design your topology. So you can imagine, like, so you can, how to say, you can design your topology with this panel pretty easily. For example, how it works. You need an application server. You just choose application server from set of predefined containers. So it's a set of containers, certified containers, I would say. What you do, you define scaling limit, like vertical scaling limit, how many resources you want to per container. And you can scale, you can design highly available topology right from this place. You just press button and you say, I want two application servers. Sorry. I want two application servers. And as you can see, our platform automatically added load balancer, Nginx. And the platform configures automatically it for you, so you don't need to spend a lot of efforts and time and to learn how to do that. because it's already done by other guys. So we just replicated best practice. You can choose different load balancers, like HA proxy, for example. So because different companies, they use different solutions. So you can add as much as you want. And same for databases. You can choose different kind of databases. And you can create highly available database topology. So as you can see, Topology Wizard allows you to build design of microservices. And you can create like several environments, we call it like environment, and connect them to each other. So here we have ability to choose different cloud providers. For example, at this cluster, we added Azure in Europe, Impulse in Ukraine, ProfitBricks in Germany and the US, and SoftLayer into data centers in the US. How cool is it? So we have like set of clouds, and I can choose which one I want. Of course, it's the pricing is different here. If we change regions, we change the pricing will be automatically adjusted for me. So now it's pretty easy. Before this, we spent a lot of efforts like to build it. Yep. You did not build anything yet. So what we did, we prepare environment for your application. So do you remember the first slide where it was like install operation system, configure database, like configure firewalls, like so this panel solves exactly this problem. So to build applications, we have like for Java, we have build node, like you can install Jenkins, for example, we have Docker here. You can choose container, like press Jenkins. So you can find Jenkins. Yep, and you can install it. Again, like this panel allows you to prepare environment for your application. So unfortunately, at this demo, I will not show how to build applications. I will show how to deploy simple application, but I just I'm not able to cover everything from one presentation. But it's pretty standard, nothing special. Standard workflow, like you can connect to JIT or to SVN. You can configure like auto pooling. When you commit, it can pull automatically, build and deploy. So it's possible to build. So, but let's switch to our environment. Let me reduce a little bit containers to speed up provisioning. Yep. Let's use Nginx. For example, two Nginx we can create. Demo environment. Okay. Let's create it. So I send command to the cluster, create an environment. We need to wait a couple minutes. In parallel, I will show how to perform live migration. So same situation. Let's imagine we want to prepare environment for our application, let's say for Java application. Tomcat Java 7, for example. Yeah, and we can choose, at this cluster we have three regions, Amazon, Azure, and SoftLayer. Let's create an environment on Amazon. My Java, Enterprise Edition apps demo, let's say. I send command again, and we need to wait about like half a minute when it will be ready. So after that, I will deploy my Java application. So we have several ways to deploy Java application. First of all, we can connect to Git SVN, or we can just upload like war archive. Like you just choose archive, upload into dashboard, and it will be available in Deployment Manager. Or you can put a link to your archive, I'm talking right now about Java applications. So let's wait a little bit. And what will happen? So what kind of application I will deploy? We created simple checker, like live migration checker. So this application checks uptime of your environment. I think I have one already deployed. Let me see. Yeah, so I have an example here. Like live migration checker, it works like 2 days already. It was deployed into previous application and it works on Azure. So how to migrate from Azure to another cloud? I just press this button, like region. Actually, my environment has been created. You can see a notification. Let's deploy application and I will come back to migration. So let's deploy uptime to my recently created environment. So, and do you follow what I do? Okay, great. So we are deploying application, but I switch it to the previous environment. And now what I can do, again, like I can choose a region. For example, I want to migrate environment from Azure region to Amazon, let's say. And I can enable live migration or disable live migration. So what does it mean? Live migration does not change, does not restart your container. It just moves everything what is inside container without downtime. So you can say, what about IP addresses? It depends how your cluster configured. So if you are inside the same service provider, you can even move public IP address. So we have such a solution. If we move across Amazon and Azure, we move private IP addresses. So to get access to your container, you need to use shared resolvers or shared load balancers. So for live migration, don't use public IP address if you migrate across providers. So let's migrate from Azure to Amazon. I press button, yes, and system send command to the platform to migrate my application. And let's do the same, but from Amazon to Azure for recently created environment. You can check uptime for this application is just 2 minutes. We recently deployed this. And let's move it from Amazon to Azure. Yes. Okay. So we have two processes. Containers are moving from one cloud to another cloud. Let's see what we will have. It's not easy task, honestly, and time depends on the size of your containers. Bigger container, it takes longer. So smaller containers, faster. We do not recommend to migrate big data. So we do not recommend to use containers for big data at all, you know. So containers are good for applications and load balancers, sometimes for database layer, but when data is not really big, so. Yep, let's wait a couple minutes. So one has been migrated already. Okay, which one? Mm-hmm. We migrated the old one. So let's check uptime. You can see uptime continues to count. So we did not have downtime. And second environment has been migrated as well. So let's check second one. Four minutes. Is it nice? It's so cool, really. How it can be used? Yeah.
Just to make it clear.
Yeah.
Azure to another one in Amazon, with this feature,
Of course, it depends. But if you prepare your migration, like, you know, change everything, because sometimes you need to change domain name, like binding and so on. But your clients, so you can make it very transparent for end customers. So our goal at the end, do you use actually Google Map for driving? So just imagine the following situation. When you have like your multi-cloud environment and your system sends you a notification, hey, we found better price and better performance. Would you like to migrate your application from this cloud to another cloud during the night? And you just say yes. You press button and you come back early morning and you have better solution. Same as Google Map, because Google Map says to you, I found faster road, 15 minutes. You will say 15 minutes. Same idea. So you can do the same. It's not easy, believe me. So it's so tricky, like in some cases, but it works. So we have, you know, like this solution, core solution. So to build such kind of live migration for different workloads, it's better to analyze the whole workload and to see like, okay, where it makes sense to use it, because it does not make sense to use it for everything, really, like, because, you know, like.
Just another question.
Yeah.
Can you have part of the application, let's say that you have a big application, and divide this application into, let's say, 4 or 5 different containers.
Yep.
Can you have one container being executed inside Azure?
Yep.
And another container in another provider?
Absolutely, yes. So in our case, we call it like environments. For example, you can create one environment with one container, right? And on let's see again, like let me show how it looks like. You can see this environment is on Amazon, right? And this environment is on Azure. Oops. They can connect to each other through IP addresses or through domain names, as usual we do. Let me show. So this has internal network address, and that one, another one. So they are on the same network, actually. You can restrict it. So you can allow them to talk to each other, or you can restrict it. So it's pretty flexible. It's configurable. But the answer is yes. You can put different containers on different regions. And even you can, this is how it works, heavy ability. So you can put on different clouds and build synchronization between containers. So let's switch back to presentation and check a couple more use cases, useful use cases. We saw this demo. I hope you like it. I do like it very much, sorry, but I have so big passion about this because we spent a lot of effort to build such solution. Next one, so why it's good? Again, why live migration is great? Just imagine you have a big virtual machine on Azure and you put it like many containers inside, but your business is growing and you need to put more containers. So, and you figure out, okay, if I buy bigger machine, it's much better for me than I buy two virtual machines. I mean, from cost or performance point of view. So what you can do, you just buy bigger machine and you migrate containers from one virtual machine to another without downtime, add more containers to the new machine and shut down the old one. So pretty useful, yep. Very good question. Very good question. So let me come back to this question at the end. I will finish this demo, and it's a good question. I will show you best practice because there are several approaches. So, and the issue here is with cloud vendors, big cloud vendors. Today, it's impossible to just increase virtual machine of size of first virtual machine. It's just impossible to add more RAM. You need to provision new one. So this is the reason why live migration is helpful here. Next one, evacuation. For example, you have some kind of issue on one provider. You don't like them anymore. And again, freedom of choice is very important. You just evacuate everything from one cloud provider to another one. And again, it will force vendors to provide good quality of services to you, because they know tomorrow during the night your application will be migrated to another cloud. Access policies. I love this one very much. So you can build different regions and provide access to different departments. You have dev, test, QA department, ops department, or as a company that creates software for another kind of companies, you can provision regions for different applications of different clients and provide access only for specific clients. It's really nice feature, so because I can show you how it works. Actually, I don't have time, so I have to rush. But it's possible to build different access policies to different regions. One of the region can be on Amazon, another one can be on Azure. HCA across clouds. You can create different regions and different clouds, upload your application, build synchronization, and provide some kind of high availability through DNS round robin. So it's not the best HCA solution, DNS round robin, but it works nice for many web applications. And recently, I discovered so cool feature at Azure. It's Microsoft Azure Traffic Manager. Why it's so cool? Because nobody provides it today. We analyze the different big cloud vendors, and only Azure provides such kind of solution. So what it does, you build the same solution as here, but you can create like multiple regions in different countries, and Microsoft Azure Traffic Manager redirects the customers to the most closest region. So it's like geo distribution. Moreover, when one region fails, Azure will automatically remove this region from traffic distribution. It's really cool because in this case, you need to wait for a long time while like DNS, TTL will be refreshed. And another cool thing about this, so you can use regions from different providers. With Amazon, you can use only for Amazon. With Azure, you can use Azure, Amazon, or someone else. I mean regions. So this is a really cool feature. Let me show quickly how it works. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 regions for high availability in different countries, you can see, and different vendors. My application, the name is HA application. So I bind external domain to this environments. So let's see what is the most closest region. So the most closest region is US software. So Azure redirects me to US software. Let's shut down software. Replica software. You can see application traffic manager US software. I just shut down it just to make some like, how to say, like, just, you know, just to show a demo, just shut down this region. So this one has been stopped. Now let's check it. So it requests, Azure figured out, okay, it doesn't work. And now Azure will show me error. it will show error. Why? Because it takes like a couple times to make sure that application does not work. So you can see like. So it will take about like 30 seconds before Azure remove this region from traffic distribution. And it's okay because like it's not easy to build such kind of solution. And 30 seconds, it's not really big, you know, like compared to if you need to restore disaster recovery, like everything, like it can take forever. We will come back to this demo in 30 seconds. So to finish my presentation, I would like to say a couple more words about containers in Jelastic. So again, as I mentioned, we are using containers from 2011. We love Docker very much. This is the reason why we integrated Docker inside our containers. But as I mentioned, Docker has two layers, application packaging and virtualization. We replace default virtualization by Virtuoso. It's a very powerful project. There is an open source solution. We use commercial version because we need commercial support. So why it's good? Because only Virtuoso provides today live migration. So you cannot do it without Virtuoso. Actually, you can now, because what they did, they committed this feature into Linux kernel recently. So now it's available for Linux containers, for default Linux containers. It's really nice. It means like everybody will be able to use it. It's really nice. So, but we use it like from 2011. So we use virtualization, advanced virtualization level, application packaging standard from Docker. So for end customers, it's transparent. You can deploy any Docker container. And on top of it, we provide smart logic. What kind of smart logic? When you provision two containers, we know how to configure load balancing between them. We know how to configure session replication between them. We know how to scale different stacks vertically. So we know how to upload custom SSL inside without extra effort. So we provide much more automation compared to default containers. So this is one of our advantages. About live migration, I would like to say thank you to Creo. It's a checkpoint restore in user space. This is sub-project from Virtuoso. This is available already for default Linux kernel. And there is an OpenVZ project. Pretty again, like you can use it for free, and it provides advanced virtualization layer for you. Yep, let's switch back to demo. Okay, now you can see Azure redirected me to ProfitBricks. It's another cloud. Yeah, so one more time, it works, everything is good, and one more time, just to make sure that everything is okay. Yeah, ProfitBricks. Now what we can do, let's start our container, our environment again, and what will happen, Azure will add previous region again to the traffic distribution, so we will be redirected to soft layer again. So it looks like it works. Let me see. It takes a couple minutes, seconds, I believe. Right. ProfitBricks, but I believe in a couple of seconds it will be redirect to soft layer. I checked it before. So great, and yeah, you can see. Now we are at the soft layer. So at the end, let's hear what big guy says about live migration, multi-cloud, and so on.
They can actually, you know,
this is James Gosling,
repair hardware with zero downtime. So they'll just migrate running virtual machines from one piece of physical hardware to another, and you know, repair it and whatever. So you can go literally years with no downtime with them. And one of my favorite stunts was they actually migrated from one whole data center to another with no detectable downtime for me. Then there's another one, a company called JElastic. They're becoming my, I really love JElastic. It's actually a software package that a number of ISPs are using, but it's a Java hosting system. And so you don't get like a bare Linux machine. What you get is a Java EE container, and you can drop WAR files on it. And they've got this really nice control panel where you get a slider that says, you know, how many clones of these things of GlassFish do you want? you know, a checkbox that says, you know, you want, you know, MySQL or Cassandra or Mongo or whatever. And, you know, there's like nothing, you don't have to go into the Linux, oh my God, you know, what it takes to install anything. And, you know, it's like which version of Linux is compatible with which app server at what times. And it's like, no, they just take care of that. And it works lovely. But I actually build these clusters and have them span multiple ISPs, and they can span multiple countries, multiple data centers, and that's how I deal with my, you know, personal extreme paranoia about the survivability of these things.
Yeah, so you can see James Gosling loves this idea, live migration, multiple data centers, and it was recorded 3 years ago. So that's all for my presentation. Be equipped to conquer DevOps space. Yes. Yep, of course.
Allow me. I will allow myself to switch to Portuguese just yep. A little bit. Pessoal, meu nome é Marcelo Pizarro, eu sou gerente de open source da Microsoft no Brasil. Eu queria só comentar com vocês, quem está interessado nessa solução, coloca na pista, por favor, quero mais informações sobre o TLS, quero fazer um piloto, vem aqui falar comigo, qualquer coisa do tipo, que a gente tem no Brasil um ecossistema de parceiros que consegue implementar essa solução com vocês via parceiros Microsoft, que a gente consegue montar um ambiente desse para vocês fazerem teste de driver, fazer um piloto. Então, manifestem o interesse, que a gente tem a possibilidade de associar, falar com mais detalhes com parceiro em português sobre a solução, suportado pela nossa parceria com a DevOps.
I forgot to mention, so actually you can install Jelastic pretty easily directly through Azure Marketplace. You just go to Marketplace and you print like hybrid or DevOps or all together. And you can see like Jelastic is here. So you just press button and you go install, and Azure will provision the whole Jelastic for you. And after that you can add different regions inside. So pretty easy. we had a question about continuous delivery, I believe, from dev environment to test environment. Let me show the best practice. One moment. Yeah, this one. So, how to deliver containers from one environment to another one? Default DevOps workflow with Docker containers. You have a hub registry, and you have multiply environments. So what you do, you provision container and dev environment. So you do something, after that you commit back, right? So you change something, you commit back to hub registry. After that, you pull from test environment. This is the same container. And you repeat the exercise on stage, on production one, and production two. So everything is connected to hub registry. It's one workflow. Second workflow, advanced workflow. For example, you just connect your dev environment to hub registry, you can see, and it solves several security issues, actually. And what you do, you just pull container, you commit back, and after that you migrate. You do live migration. You can clone your environment and you can just migrate it. You don't need to reconfigure it, reprovision it every time. Pretty nice, pretty useful. So, and you can clone it here and move it to different productions. But my favorite is hybrid DevOps workflow. So you connect hub registry to dev and test environment. And what happens, you pull again on dev guys commit back, and test guys, they recreate from the scratch everything, because they need to make sure that the dev guys did not forget to commit something inside, right? So after that, you QA department run set of tests, and if everything's okay, then they can just move it, like with live migration to another regions. So I love this workflow the most. So, thank you very much. Questions? Looks like, okay, thank you.
In this scenario, what about the
data?
Yeah, the data of the database, for example. I have the test guys conducting some tests, they prepare some scenarios.
Yep.
Usually they will have to mock some data to register some information in the database for testing.
Okay, so thank you for the question. It's a really smart question. So this is a very important question. Usually, you don't migrate data, right? And as I mentioned, it's not a good idea to host big data inside a container. So where is the data? Your data is here, so you have data for dev environment, right? So each dev guy, they have small replica of something, of some database. Test environment has much bigger data, and stage maybe even more bigger. So data stays at the stages. So you don't migrate data. When you migrate container, you can attach a hook, please reconfigure connection from this database to another database. So you can attach a hook again, because for example, in Jelastic, we have ability to attach small scripts to different events, for example, before deploy, after deploy, before migration, after migration, before scaling, after scaling, before shutdown, after shutdown. So you can attach small hooks on different events. And in this case, when you migrate, after migrate, reconfigure connection. It depends, like maybe you will host it inside the container, maybe you will attach it to big data cluster, like. Data, I would not suggest to destroy. Like, if you need to destroy, okay, it means like maybe it's better to use container for that, because if you need test data, like, so if you need. So I got it. So we use it for that. We use cloud scripting, as I mentioned again. We have hooks. We call it like cloud scripting. When we move container, actually we can during the migration we can transfer rights for this container from dev department to QA department. When you migrate, because for example, the dev department can have access only to region for dev department, right? QA department for region for QA department. When you migrate, you transfer the right for this application. So after migration, dev guys will not be able to touch any more this environment. No, it doesn't migrate user. It just add access or remove access to this environment for a specific user. So when you migrate from dev to test, so access to test guys will be removed, and access to QA guys will be added. So you change rules. Like I show just simple. Of course, there are some little specific things. It's always like this, and it's a really good question. Again, for that we use hooks. Or you can use API, for example, to reconfigure everything.
And also for the external reviews, right? If you have web services or external applications that are different address across different environments, so you need to change it for all the.
Yeah, so I have to stop, sorry. Again, thank you very much. I will answer your question after this. Thank you very much. If you have any question, I will be out the door outside, and please ask. Thank you.